The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Texts Number 34 and 35, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on April 3rd, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Uttareshu Chakurushu Bhagavan Yagyupadusha Kritabaraha Rupa Aste Tangtu Devi Haishabhu Sahakurubir Askalita Bhakti Yogeno Padavaryati Imang Shaparamang Upanashidam Artayav Arvatayati. Shukadev Goswami said, "Dear King, the Supreme Lord in His Boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambadweep. There in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra. Om Namah Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yagya Kratave Maha Dvara Avayavaya Maha Purushaya Nama Karma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaha Te. Om Namo Bhagavate Manta Tattva Dangaya Yagya Katave Maha Dvarava Vayaya Maha Purushaya Namakarma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste.
Pretty good. Y'all did pretty good. Brahmins.
Om Namo Bhagavate Manta Tatta Dengaya Yagya Katave Maha Dvarava Vahyaya Maha Purushaya Namakarma Shuklaya Tiyogaya Namaste.
Someone else?
Tattalingaya Yagya Katave Mahadvara Vavihaya Mahapurushaya Namakama Shukaya Chiyuga Namaste. Om. O Lord. Nama. Respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mantra Tattva Lingaya, who is understood in truth by different mantras. Yagya, in the form of animal sacrifices. Kratave, and animal sacrifice. Mahadvara, great sacrifices. Avayavaya, whose limbs and bodily parts. Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Person. Nama, respectful obeisances. Karma Shuklaya, who purifies the fruitive activities of the living entities. Triyugaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full with the six opulences, and who appears in three yugas, remaining concealed in the fourth yuga. Nama, my respectful obeisances, te, unto you. Translation in purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are the kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triyuga, because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali, as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 699 as follows. Kali Yuge Lila Vatara Nakare Bhagavan Atayeva Triyuga Kari Kahi Tadanama. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan does not appear as a Lila avatar, an incarnation to display pastimes. Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is a concealed incarnation, Channa avatar. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Bhajijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yajeshatarine. So, thank you all very much for coming today to hear this transcendental knowledge. This knowledge is the most important knowledge in the whole universe.
Because this knowledge can solve all the problems of the human society. The present moment, the problems are increasing geometrically, devastatingly, more and more every day. The list is innumerable of all the anomalies, all the difficulties that are happening throughout the world. The leaders make so many promises, but actually they are perplexed how to bring any solution to the problems of the world. This knowledge is the key. This knowledge can solve all the problems of the world. This is why Prabhupada brought, what did he bring on the Jaladutta? Bhagavatam. This is the most important knowledge to bring about a spiritual revolution in the world, to completely save the human society from increasing misery, increasing degradation. Therefore, to hear submissively and to repeat honestly this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important thing we can do in this human form of life. This is why our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, instituted the morning Bhagavatam class. This is the most essential knowledge. So by hearing Bhagavatam, by taking Bhagavatam deep, deep, deep within the heart, means you're directly associating with Krishna. Krishna and the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are one and the same. And especially to hear Bhagavatam here in the most holy of all abodes, Sri Vrindavan Dham, the potency of Bhagavatam is magnified 1,000 times. Can you imagine if you had 1,000 Krishnas manifesting within your heart? 1,000 Krishnas manifesting within the heart. That is the potency of hearing Bhagavatam in Vrindavan. And speaking it also. So I take it as the greatest blessing to be able to speak Bhagavatam. There's so many sincere, wonderful devotees coming from all over the world. I take it as the greatest blessing, undeserved mercy, that some croaking toad is given this chance to croak Bhagavatam and purify myself. So I'm indebted to all of you that you're hearing. You're helping me to purify myself. So I'm indebted to each and every one of you very, very much for so kindly hearing Bhagavatam. This is quite interesting verse, talking about Tri-Yuga, the covered incarnation of the Lord. He actually appears in four yugas, but he doesn't openly appear in this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada describes that because in this age, the age of cheating, they would imitate, yes, I am God. They're doing it anyway. But if Krishna had openly come as God in this age, it would be even worse. I remember back in the 60s, during the days of the hippie movement, there were so many incarnations of God. A few Indian yogis came over and said that they were God, and all the hippies were saying that, yes, and I am God too. Because they told us that. I went to one Swami, Swami Satchidananda, and I was a student in the University of Texas. He came, did a program at the Methodist Student Center, and he said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. So I was thinking, I didn't know what to think. They were teaching us, you see. And there was another book that came out. It was called The Book, subtitled On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. There was one author, Mr. Alan Watts. He said, actually, you are God. You are God. But now you're playing hide and go seek with yourself. It's So just come out of hiding and be God once again. So I tried it. Well, it was pretty great for a couple of days. Oh, I'm God. But then I was noticing, you know, if you're God, things happen the way you want to happen, right? But it wasn't happening that way. This was going wrong. I realized it was a sham, you see. So this disease of I am God is already prevalent enough. But if Krishna had come openly as Krishna, it would be much, much worse. Therefore, he appeared undercover. If you told him he was God, he would block his ears, you see. But he revealed, he fully revealed that Arti song, Ki Bhajaya, it celebrates when Lord Chaitanya actually revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, how is it then that this, we were speaking of the problems of the world, how is it then that this covered incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can indeed solve all the problems of the human society? How is that possible? Is it just some religious sentiment because we're his followers? Or is it scientific that yes, he can actually do that? Well, it's predicted, of course, by Krishna Das Kaviraj. Sat janna durjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyayala jubayala jagateda janna. This Krishna consciousness movement, this Hare Krishna movement, it is a prema tsunami. It will inundate the entire world, drowning everyone, whether you're pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. Everyone will become inundated in this prema tsunami, this tidal wave of prema. You see, that is the prediction. So, you think it'll happen? You think Krishna Das Kaviraj was just speculating, or he was a perfect knower of past, present, and future? Well, he's a perfect knower of past, present, and future. He's actually one of the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world, coming down here to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his transcendental pastimes. So it's authoritative. It's going to happen. That day will come when the whole world becomes Krishna conscious within the 10,000 year period, which began 500 years ago. There will be, Prabhupada explains, there will be an increase, a total inundation, and then it will fade away again. So we're very fortunate. Here we are 500 years into the golden era of Lord Chaitanya, what is called an Indian summer. In America, it's called, winter comes, but then there's a brief period of warmth. As in the winter, it's called an Indian summer. So this is an Indian summer within the winter of Kali Yuga. No pun intended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing about an Indian summer in the winter of Kali Yuga. Just like sometimes somebody has cancer, you know, really bad cancer, and then it goes into remission for some time and then it comes back, you see. So the Kali Yuga is a cancer. The cancer came in 5,000 years ago, but 500 years ago that cancer, a process of that cancer going into remission began. And it will go into complete remission eventually. Now it's only remitted to the extent that we have loyal, dedicated followers of Lord Chaitanya on this planet, which is a very, very insignificant number at the present time, percentage-wise, to the world population. When they talk about different religions in the world, they never mention the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, I was talking with Savas about this in Los Angeles. Actually, it's good in a sense because they don't realize how dangerous we actually are. It protects us from being, you know, having the demons try to destroy us. But actually, this is the most powerful spiritual movement in the entire universe. And the Lord Chaitanya's movement. And it will indeed completely reverse the history of Kali Yuga, bring in this incredible age. of chanting, dancing, and feasting. Jubilation, celebration of the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Why are these names so glorious? What is it about the name that makes it so special and wonderful and powerful and unique and sweet and nectarian and delicious and nutritious and everything else? How is it? Is it? What's so special about Krishna? Those syllables. Because Krishna is Krishna himself. Do not think otherwise. Krishna, the two syllables, is Krishna himself. You want to meet Krishna? Krishna, you just did. He just appeared in your ear holes. The Supreme Personality of God that just entered into your ears. Is it? The difficulty, my dear Prabhus and Matajis, the difficulty in Maharaj, the difficulty is that we're so dull-headed, we can't realize it. We're so covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We can't realize. We don't realize it. We are called neophytes. One who is actually awakened in Krishna consciousness, he fully experiences Krishna in every way, in his name, in the deity. He can even directly see Krishna face to face in his original form with his own spirit purified eyes. Is he? So this is why the stages of bhakti are very important, because they lead you gradually to directly being able to associate with Krishna every minute. So one must follow the authorized process. The sahajas want to immediately think that they are experiencing Krishna or that they can imitate Krishna. But that is not authorized. Shuti smriti puranadi pancharatta viding vana akantaki harir bhakti rupaita yajavakalpate. That devotional service which is not in accordance with the shruti, the smriti, and the pancharatras, it is just sentimentalism, and it causes nothing but a disturbance in the human society. So we should not follow the sahaja marg, concocting our own so-called bhakti process. We should follow the path of the great Mahajans, because they are showing us actually how to get out of the darkness of ignorance and come to the point where we can experience Krishna at every instant. They are showing us. They are teaching us. So Rupa Goswami has very clearly described how the stages take place. First of all, you have to have faith in the process. Shraddha. This is called preliminary faith. And then when you have a little faith, you think, well, let me associate with devotees. Let me associate with those persons who are on the path of bhakti so I can also learn how to walk the path of bhakti. This is true of any subject matter. You want to cook? Associate with cooks. Want to learn to play madanga? You associate with madanga players, you see. Anything you want to learn, you associate with those who are expert in that art or that science. So find people who are on the path of bhakti. They are called the devotees, the sadhus. So then the next stage is called sadhu sangha. You associate with devotees. Then you see, well, the devotees do this, they do that. So let me do this and that also. They chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And they eat this wonderful type of food. They call it prasadam. And it's really amazing. That prasadam, wow, I tried it and wow, it's really great. There's something special about that. They only take prasadam, so I'm just going to also only take prasadam, you see. They do this and that. They eventually they take shelter of guru. They get initiated. So, okay, sign me up. That's called Bhajana Kriya. I'm going to take up the activities of bhakti very seriously. So then what happens when you do that? Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehina rasavajang sopyasta parang vishtvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So what happens is you take up the activities of bhajan, bhajana kriya, you see. Then you start to get this amazing thing called taste. Of course, it's not the full-fledged taste of the ruchi stage, but you get a preliminary ruchi. You get this taste that, wow, standing in front of Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaur Nithai, it's awesome. Attending Prabhupada's Guru Puja, it's absolutely awesome. Your hairs are practically stand on end. It's so exciting, you see. You start to get tastes that goes far beyond the taste we got if we were having, you know, meat or illicit sex or intoxication or gambling. You enter into a new realm of transcendental enjoyment. Because after all, anandamayo vyasat, aren't we pleasure seekers by nature? Is anybody here not a pleasure seeker? We're all pleasure seekers. So you simply have to find out that place where you get more pleasure. Actually, we're the best hedonists of all. In that sense, you see. Because we know how to get the pleasure. We know how to get real pleasure. This is better than sex. In the material world, sex is number one. That's why the Bhagavatam says, Maitun Adi. Adi means number one, and Maitun means sex. Maitun Adi. Griyamedi Sukham. The pleasure of the materialistic householders. Yan Maitun Adi Griyamedi Sukham. What does Bhagavatam say about it? He, which means indeed or without question. Tucham, insignificant. Or, as Prabhupada translates it, 10th class at best. So once you take up Bhajana Kriya, you start to experience these sensations of transcendental bliss. You start to get all kinds of realizations about the transcendental subject matter of who you actually are. You begin to actually realize more and more that you're not your material body. You see? You can ponder, well, do my eyes see? Or am I seeing through my eyes? Do my ears hear? Or am I hearing through my ears? In this way, one can contemplate and understand and actually feel, I'm not this lump of blood and flesh. It's not me. A devotee can be 80 years old and still have the energy and enthusiasm of a young man. We saw this in Srila Prabhupada. I see this in many of my godbrothers also. I have godbrothers just like one godbrother sitting here. In your 60s, aren't you, Prabhu? You play that madanga like a 20-year-old. You see? You see, this is the proof. This is the proof. So, as you take up Bhajana Kriya, then you begin to actually have all kinds of amazing realizations, all kinds of amazing transcendental experiences, which give you which transform that faith, preliminary faith, into firm faith. You see. When all of those anartas are completely washed out of the heart, when there's no more, not even a pinch of lust, not even a tinge of greed, you see, not even an insignificant fraction of anger left. Of course, anger, there's transcendental anger, but anger over, don't mess with my sense gratification, that kind of anger, you see. The Vivisha stage, that's called anarta-nivritti. course, that's a very high platform, to be totally free of all these anarthas. We may not make it until we may be kissing the anarthas goodbye at the time of death, finally kicking him out once and for all at the time of death. Of course, a rare devotee, he can achieve the anartha nibbitti stage even within his body. That's something we should all strive for. We may not make it. It may only be at the time of death we can finally get totally free of these impurities, remembering Krishna at the time of death. But we should strive for it now. Become completely free from these anarthas. Prabhupada explains that after anartha nivritti, there's no more struggle. You don't have to struggle anymore. It's just like you're going from point A to point B and there's a big mountain range between, you see. Sadha, sadha sangha, bhajana kriya, and you're working. You finally achieve anartha nivritti and then there's no more struggle. You just glide on in. Nishta, bhuchi, asakti, bhava, and prema. We should strive for that. But even if we are struggling, not having perfected anartha vritti yet, anartha nivritti yet, even if we are struggling, that's all right. Instead of being bewildered or discouraged, rather struggle, embrace the struggle. It's an ecstatic struggle, actually. Prabhupada says, declaring war on Maya. It's an ecstatic thing. Be in the mood of a kshatriya. Go after those anarthas. Okay, Mr. Lust, get out. Okay, Mr. Anger, get lost. Okay, Mr. Greed, I don't need you around here anymore. You see? Okay, Mr. Envy, I've had it with you, bud. You're finished, Mr. Envy. You see? Envy is a tough one, you know that. Envy brought us here to begin with. I had some interesting experience about envy. Actually, when I joined in Austin, Texas, back with Vishnujan Swami in 71, and Prabhupada never came to Austin. And I hardly ever saw Prabhupada. Maybe 10 times, something like that. Hardly saw Prabhupada. But so many godbrothers, they would say, oh yeah, I was with Prabhupada in his room and he said this. I was on the walk and he said that. And I was going, oh. I was getting so envious. And I felt bad, you know, you're not supposed to be envious, but man, this is killing me. I was on the walk and Prabhupada turned to me and he said this. It's great, but, what about me? You know, I felt really bad about it, so I felt guilty. And you're not supposed to be envious of your godbrothers, right? But I was. It was bothering me a lot, you know. So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, I have this problem of envy. I'm envious of my godbrothers who are getting all your association so much, and I'm not getting it. How can I get free of this envy, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada surprised me with his answer. He didn't say to get rid of it. He said, transcendental envy means when you see someone is pleasing Krishna more than you, you try harder so Krishna recognize you also. And then the part two of that, my envy problem. So I was there in Atlanta, this is 75, it was a glorious time. And the devotees came from all over North America to Atlanta. We were packed, like 300 of us there with Prabhupada for a whole week. I mean, it was really sweet. So I always get real close to Prabhupada. I would always get up there right by the Vyasa San, just on his right-hand side. You know, I would just plant myself there because, you know, I get some association, at least during the class. So, but still, I still had this thing about the devotees who are getting his association, especially his entourage, who traveled with him constantly. So anyway, one member of the entourage, who's actually here right now in Vrindavan, is great Sriman Shutakirti Prabhu. He was Prabhupada's personal servant, the number one object of my envy, right? And he was standing on the other side of Prabhupada. So I'm standing here, Prabhupada's here, and Sudhakirti Prabhu is over there. So I look over at him, you know, it was in my brain. And they're like, you know. But he looks at, he smiled at me, he beamed at me across Prabhupada's, it was all across Prabhupada's lap, this was all happening. He beamed at me with the most wonderful smile, just the most loving, happy, blissful, compassionate, I want to share the mercy with you, Prabhu, smile. And I realized, wow. And I realized all this mercy is coming out of Prabhupada. It's bouncing off Sudhakirti, and he's bouncing Prabhupada's mercy over to me like a mirror. And it just really changed my whole attitude, you see. I can see he's not proud and puffed up thinking, yeah, I get to be with Prabhupada, but you're just some scum. You don't get to be with Prabhupada like me. He wasn't thinking like that. He just wanted to, all the mercy he was getting from Prabhupada, he just wanted to share it with me. Just some insignificant, I wasn't any big leader. I was just some wild, crazy brahmachari who was washing pots, doing a little preaching, you know. I was a nobody. I was a nobody in ISKCON. But still, he saw me over there and he just gave me the mercy. So I realized that this is wonderful. How wonderful this is, you see. How wonderful is this Hare Krishna movement? I think I joined the right movement after all. I didn't make a mistake. It's a good place. This is a place where you can become completely free of all the dirt in the heart, a place where you can become completely God-realized and get out of this hellish thing known as the cycle of birth and death. You can actually go back and revive your original sarupa, your relationship with Krishna. We all have that. I mean, we all have it. There are five primary rasas, and each and every one of us has a particular rasa, a relationship with Krishna. The secondary rasas are there to spice up the primary. They're the spices. The secondary rasas are the spices to make the primary rasas even more juicy and interesting. So we all have a relationship with Krishna. And by following this process, Vaidhi Bhakti, given by Srila Prabhupada, we will eventually become pure devotees and will become reestablished in our original relationship with Lord Krishna. So this is the wonderful process all coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we take it seriously, if we engage in it steadily, through thick and thin, sometimes it's difficult. Many devotees go through periods of great difficulty, isn't it? So, how to deal with these difficulties so I can remain steady? You have to see the beauty and the wonder of the difficulties, actually. Actually, the difficulties are the special mercy of Krishna. There is a great sweetness in the difficulties. Prabhupada told us this. He said, actually, that first year, he had no facility. He had no money. He had no followers. It was a great difficulty. But Prabhupada experienced that first year in New York as the sweetest time. So when difficulties come, instead of becoming bewildered by them, try to understand, actually this is the sweetest nectar. Because now I have to fully realize it's not by my strength I can practice Krishna consciousness. It's not by my power, by my intelligence, by my great self-discipline, or whatever it may be, that I can practice Krishna consciousness. I just have to feel totally helpless and completely 100% dependent upon the mercy of Guru and Krishna. You see? So when difficulties come, capitalize on them. Don't be discouraged, bewildered, or slacken your intensity of service when difficulties come. Take that as an opportunity to increase your intensity of service. But now is a chance when I am blessed with a golden opportunity where I can very rapidly advance in Krishna consciousness, you see. When things are easy, how much do you show your dedication by engaging in devotional service? You do, but when things are difficult and you remain dedicated, that shows even more dedication. That attracts the very special mercy of Krishna. So we can see those devotees in ISKCON who underwent great difficulties to assist Prabhupada in establishing this movement, they became very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. So we should never become discouraged by difficulties. We think, wow, this is a great chance now. Difficulties have come. What a special mercy, what a special blessing I'm getting now to advance very quickly and be recognized by Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya, by Srila Prabhupada, by all the acharyas. In this way, let me capitalize on this situation to become more deeply absorbed in the sweet mellows, the unlimited ocean of transcendental bliss which can be found in these two syllables, Krishna. Tunde tandavani bitang vitanitai tandavali labdiye karna krodhikadamani gatayate kanabhide vrspiham chetapangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam krutim no jani janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varna divai. Krishneti varna divai means these two syllables, Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains very, very wonderfully, very beautifully, very poetically. He is praying that when I vibrate these two syllables, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna himself is directly dancing on my tongue, oozing out so much nectar that this one little tiny mouth can hold. I need to have millions of mouths. And when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in a state of transcendental bliss. So, this is called ruchi. We have to somehow learn how to taste the name like that. You see? So the more we get free of these anartas, that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, illusion, envy, the more we become humble, offering all respect to others without even demanding even a little smidgen of respect for ourselves, they'll all expect you, Prabhu, but you have to respect me, or else I'm not going to respect you. Not like them. You can spit in my face. You can slap me. You can throw me to the ground, but still I respect you. You see, that is Lord Chaitanya's teaching, you see. So what do you get by being so respectful to everyone? You get a taste for the name. Having a taste for the name is more valuable than anything you can measure in this material world. Even if you could possess the entire treasury of Kuvera, a taste for the name is millions and billions of times greater than all the wealth of the treasury of Kuvera. Such a beautiful bell. That bell is, when I hear that bell, it's just Vrindavan manifesting in sound vibration. So nice thing. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Questions, 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 questions. Yeah.
Thank you. Most enlightening class. I wonder if you could expand upon the statement Srila Prabhupada makes when he says, first deserve then desire.
First deserve and then desire. This was in reference to the Gopi Bhava Club in Los Angeles that Prabhupada said then. A number of when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, a number of devotees thought, we just want to get into Gopi Bhava. Forget those other things, you know. You wouldn't want to be a cowherd boy or a mother or a parental or a servant or neutral. You just got to be a gopi. That's the only thing really worth being. So let's just get together and meditate on becoming gopis. So, in other words, they were trying to jump to their svarup before they were qualified. So Prabhupada was sitting there in his quarters there in L.A. Just beginning to take his breakfast, he picked up the piece of fruit. It was halfway to his mouth, and Prajumna walked in and told Prabhupada what was happening. That fruit never made it to Prabhupada's mouth. He put down the fruit. He said, call the GBC, call the temple president, and call the leader of that group here right now. And Prabhupada really let him have it. Yeah. And don't... So that quote that you mentioned, that was stated that morning when Prabhupada blasted the leader of the Gopi Bhava Club. They wanted to desire Gopi Bhava, but still they had not become free of lust, anger, etc. The thing is, to desire your perfectional stage, that is all right. But you have to understand what is the bona fide process of achieving that. See, they said, well, Tulsi worship is very good because it's gopis, but Mangalarti, oh, no, it's low class. We don't want to go to Mangalarti. Guru Puja is no good. Mangalarti is no good, but Tulsi worship is good. You see, they wanted to sidetrack the process of Vaidhi Bhakti and jump immediately to Raganuga Sadhana, artificially. That's same disease sometimes that we've had even after this time. It's manifested in ISKCON, that same kind of disease. So it's called Sahajaism. And Prabhupada was very, very strong. He very, very heavy. And the leader of that group actually left the movement at that point. Couldn't handle Prabhupada's correction. He wanted to follow his own direction instead of following Prabhupada's transcendental correction. Sometimes that happened. So you have to, if you want to achieve your svarup, great, now deserve it. Deserve to have it revealed to you. You have to deserve it. You have to follow the process as we stated. You have faith, associate with devotees, follow the regulated principles of devotional service. In this way, gradually, you'll become free from lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And then, actually, Prabhupada explains in his purport to the Narada Bhakti Sutra, in the stage known as Asakti, your actual identity in Krishna's, your svarup is revealed to you in the Asakti stage. So, you want to have it revealed now? You want to know what you think you can jump to it now? No, you have to work your way diligently to the Asakti stage. And especially for us initiates, that means we have to really work hard on anartanavritti. Because that's achieving the anartanavritti stage is what stands in the way of nishta and ruchi, which will lead us to asakti, or actually realizing our identities in Krishna as they live. So we have to work very hard on anartanavritti. If you're not initiated yet, you should get serious about taking up this process. Chanting the rounds, following the prescribed rules and regulations, taking shelter of Guru, getting initiated by Guru, obeying the orders of Guru is your life and soul. That's bhajana kriya. And then at that stage, then your work really begins. Really working hard to get rid of the lust, anger, greed, madness, delusion, and envy. So you have to go through the prescribed process. You can't jump prematurely. You have to follow, you have to deserve that realization of your svarup by diligently following the orders of the spiritual master. As Prabhupada has so carefully laid out in his books, Prabhupada said, that every one of his disciples should read all of his books. You say, well, that's great, I'm a grand disciple, I don't have to worry about it. No, grand disciples are also disciples. Great grand disciples, these are different varieties of disciples. There's disciples of Prabhupada, grand disciples of Prabhupada, great grand disciples of Prabhupada. They're all disciples of Prabhupada, different categories, that's all. They're all in the Prabhupada lineage. So that means all of us, the disciples, the grand disciples, the great grand disciples, the great great grand disciples, the great 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 grand disciples, and the great 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 great, etc. For the next 10,000 years, we all have to read all of Prabhupada's books. That's his instruction. I took a survey one time at a Brahmachari temple. There's about 300 Brahmacharis. I said, how many of you read all of Prabhupada's books? And you know how many hands went up?
One.
Only one hand went up. And so it was just two of us. There was me and him. We were the only one that read all of Prabhupada's books. So if we don't read the books, we may get diverted into some kind of sahaja philosophy of thinking I can imagine my svarup now. No. You have to follow the process. You have to read all of the books. You have to follow the books. You have to become a living manifestation of the books 24/7. And then you will deserve. That day will come when you actually deserve to have your svarup revealed to you. That day will come. Is that clear, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
Prabhupada says in the book that one has to become Brahma-mutta realized in order to enter into the pure devotional service.
Yes, yes, of course. So Brahman means...
one has to realize...
Brahman means chanting Hare Krishna and giving up all sinful activities. That makes you, situates you in the mode of goodness. Giving up illicit sex, mediating intoxication and gambling, absorbing yourself in chanting the names of the Lord. That brings you to the brahminical platform.
Is Brahma-mutta not beyond the mode of goodness?
Huh?
Is Brahma-mutta not beyond the mode of goodness?
The Brahma-bhuta stage.
Yeah.
Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati nakangshati samaksraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktam labhate padam. What is Brahma-bhuta stage? That means you have no hankering, you have no lamenting. You're equally disposed towards all living entities. This is Brahma-bhuta. Whether I praise you or I curse you, you see that the same. You see how Krishna is acting in both situations. Whether I glorify you or I criticize you, you see, you'll see that as equal mercy. I tell you, the biggest jerk that ever set foot on the planet Earth, or I say, wow, you're a great soul, I love you. You see those as the same. That's Brahma-bhuta. You see. You're free from hankering, lamenting. You see, this is Brahma-bhuta stage. So by following the regulative principles, chanting your 16 rounds, getting initiated, this will help, this will bring you to the Brahma-bhuta stage, which is the preliminary stage for achieving prema-bhakti. Okay? Jai. Thank you for your wonderful question. Any other questions? Yes.
You mentioned just now before about you mentioned Trinada Pita Sukshastika.
Yeah.
You know, whether someone spits in your face or they treat you with
nasty, right.
You offer respect.
That's right.
Now, and that's what you just said, that's the Brahma-bhuta stage.
Yes.
Then
absolutely.
Do we have to experience that in order to come to that stage? Do we actually have to experience someone spitting in our face?
No, not necessary. You don't have to actually experience someone spitting in your face, although it does happen sometimes when we go out preaching. So that's the advantage of going out and preaching, have somebody spit in your face.
Is that, it helps.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's wonderful. I remember going out in Norman, Oklahoma, in my dhoti. I went there to open a preaching center by the campus. The first day I was walking down the street, somebody yelled out, somebody threw a rock, you know, and they said, "Get off the damn street." So that was mercy. So I have a question. Now, there's a written question here. How to remain in devotional service mood when one is stunned or paralyzed? Well, this stunned or paralyzed is transcendental stunned or paralyzed. Bhaktivinoda Thakura also talks about it. You don't have to worry about it because you're not there, okay? You don't worry about it. I'm feeling stunned or paralyzed. No, you're not there yet. It's the Baba's platform. You're not there yet. You're not in transcendental paralyzation or stunness. You're not there. But Bhaktivinoda talks about it in Kabehabi Bodha Sedi Namur. He says, "By the holy name, by the power of the holy name, I will be paralyzed." That's the Baba stage. Don't worry about it. If you get to Baba, even if you're paralyzed, in your paralyzed state, you'll be fully absorbed in bhakti. Don't have to worry about it now. Just become free of lust, anger, madness, and all that stuff. And then that day will come when you'll have stunned and paralyzed experiences. We pray for that day. And Baba will come to us. As our prema begins to awaken, we pray. It's like the little glimmer of sunlight before the sun fully manifests. We pray for them. But we pray, most important thing, "Krishna, help me become free from lust, anger, and all these samatartas. Help me become fully obedient to my spiritual master, that 24/7, in all times, places, and circumstances, I'm always thinking how to please Guru and how to please Krishna." Well, is there any other burning questions? Someone just has to ask. If not, we can adjourn. And I thank you all very much for coming today for Bhagavatam. I can't hear you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.